Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening and praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our prayer room ministry. So delighted this evening, to be back on our radio broadcast for the study of the Word of God. I just give God all the praise and all the glory on this evening. We're going to have a short devotion, and we're going to go right into our Bible class on tonight. We're going to have a scripture, a song, and a prayer. Okay. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalms. Let me see here, y'all. Psalm 65. Trying to get everybody open up. Okay. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thine house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness will thou answer us, O God, of our salvation. Who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the seas, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and their tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrich it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the reeds thereof abundantly. Thou settest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy past drop fatness. Thou drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. Thou shouted for joy. They also sang. I have just read you the 15 verses of Psalm 65. May God richly add a blessing to the doers of his most holy word. We're going to have a song. If the thing plays, we're going to have a song. Just 1 second.
I worship you. You are here.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace on tonight, God, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I come just confessing and repenting, asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I come now, God, in the name of Jesus, just asking you tonight, God, to let Deborah decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister to us on tonight, Father. I know nothing, God, of myself, Lord, but it's you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that have all the knowledge of in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you, God, to move me from myself, that the Holy Ghost may take over and take control of this Bible class on tonight, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, I just surrender. I surrender tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, open up our minds. Open up our understanding tonight, God. In the name of Jesus, give them more inspiration, God. Let your anointing fall. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on their lips, on their mind, God. In the name of Jesus, just stir it up on tonight, God. Stir it up. In the name of Jesus,
In the name of Jesus, do it tonight, Father. In the name of Jesus, just impress in their heart what this word is, the meaning of this word is, God. In the name of Jesus. Father, I just thank you now for the power of the Holy Ghost. I thank you for sending the power down tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. I bind up the strong man. I bind up the enemy, the strong man right now. I bind up every witch, every wizard, every warlock, every medium, every psychic, every demon on assignment. Your assignment is canceled from their lives, from our lives, and from this live, this radio broadcast. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, take over, Holy Spirit. Take control. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. So let it be. In the name of Jesus, we just thank and praise God for this opportunity. It's good to be back. And I thank everyone for your prayers. I thank everyone for your prayers. I really, really do. And most of all, I thank Prophetess Brown for her service, her service of help. And I give God glory for her on today. And we're going to get ready to start reading at chapter 15 in 1 Samuel. Amen.
Chapter 15, 1 Samuel. Chapter 15, yes, 1 Samuel. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did in Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them to Telem, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said to the Kenite, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them, for ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel. Then they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havahu unto thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agai, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agai and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatling and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me and have not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and his gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Samuel said, and Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thy own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Samuel said, and Saul said to Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agai, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep, oxen, and oxen, the chief of things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Have the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of God? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, The Lord have rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and have given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, and that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then said Samuel, Bring ye hither to me Agai, the king of the Amalekites. And Agai came unto him delicately. And Agai said, Surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, As thy sword hath made woman childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agai in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. And Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house, Gibeah, and of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Amen.
Amen. Chapter 16. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. Call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourself and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on his height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him passed before Samuel, and he said, neither have the Lord chosen this. Then Samuel made Shema to pass by, and he said, neither have the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons pass before to Jesse, the Lord have not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servant, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is cunning, a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servant, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man, a man of war, impudent in matters and in comely persons, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul's sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David, thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass and laid him with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David, his son, unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hands. Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, let me put some more on here. I got to. Just give me a second, y'all. Just one second. Okay, that's what I'm looking for. Okay. So the first question, what did God instruct Saul to do to the Amalekites? What did he tell him to do? And I think that's in verse.
He told them to smite the Amalekites and to destroy everything, and that he should not spare not anything. That's
right.
That's verse three. That he wanted him to slay man and woman, not to spare the infants, the suckling, the ox, the sheep, the camel, or anything. He just told him to destroy everything.
Yes, he did. Okay. What sin did Saul commit concerning the Amalekites? What was the sin?
He's saying that he didn't destroy all the Amalekites.
Go ahead. Go right ahead, because it's one at a time. You go ahead. I'm listening to you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
He didn't destroy all the people and all the sheep, and he saved some of it.
That's right.
So he disobeyed God.
Right. He did not obey God. He did not utterly destroy what God told him to. He left and he kept, I think it was the king, and then he told him, don't leave nobody alive, not animal, not nothing. And they kept the king, and then they kept alive some animals. The good animal is what they call it, the good animal. Okay. What did God say concerning him? What did God say to Saul had done concerning him? What did God say Saul did and had done concerning God? Saying it right so y'all can understand it.
Yeah.
Is it burning never leaving? Is it verse number 11?
Verse number 11.
He said, okay, I'm going to read 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Keep going.
Wait a minute.
Pause. No.
That's right. No, that's it. That's it right there. What was that? What's the name of that? Let me circle that. That was
number 11.
Mm-hmm. Number 11, that's absolutely right. number four. Number four. What did Saul say he planned to do with the animals of the Amalekites? What had he planned to do with them?
Was that in verse 13 and 15, where Saul tried to justify his disobedience by claiming that the animals were to be brought as a sacrifice to the Lord, and he brought those because, well, that's what he thought, that he was bringing them as a sacrifice when
okay.
they should have been.
Amen. Yeah. Okay. Samuel responds to Saul.
Was that verse 22 where he told him that he had not obeyed the commandment of the Lord and that Saul was actually performing in his own eyesight and that it was better to obey than to sacrifice?
Mm-hmm. That's it. Amen. We're going to move on to chapter 16. Now, we're in chapter 16, and we're going to come back and talk about 15 and 16, but we're in chapter 16 now. Who did God choose to be king in the place of Saul? We all know that.
David.
Who did he choose? Yeah. He chose David. What position did David soon have with the king?
His armor bearer.
That's right. And what else did he do?
He would play the music when the evil spirit would come upon Saul, and the evil
yes.
spirit would leave for that moment.
Yeah. He would play the harp instrument to calm Saul down every time the evil spirit would come upon Saul. He would play that music, and that would calm Saul down. Amen. So here in chapter 15, we're going to go back to 15, where God instructed Saul to kill or to go up in battle against the Amalekites. He told him he wanted him to go up in battle and to kill the Amalekites. So Saul did tell, what is the Kenites to get out before they get killed too, because they had kind of saved a couple of the spies when they sent them out to spy. They saved them because they would have been killed. And so uh-huh. they told them to move out so they wouldn't hurt none of them because they really helped them. But then he started destroying the Amalekites. And he did, but God told him to destroy the Amalekites, but do not save any of them. Save not nothing. Kill every man, woman, boy, girl, every animal. Destroy all. And they did what? So they didn't do it. And so what happened? They sinned. Saul sinned against God. And so at the time that Saul sinned against God, God already knew that Saul was turning back from following him because he wanted to please man and not God. So he was trying to give the people what they needed and what they wanted. And not obey God.
And that's why God was telling, Samuel was telling Saul, obedience is better than you can sacrifice. And then what? How did Saul lie? He told a lie. What did he say? Anybody know? Because he lied in there. He really sinned. Saul told Samuel that these animals was for sacrifice. And they wasn't. You know they wasn't. He was keeping these animals because they was the good animals. He kept them all to give to the people. That's what the people wanted. Instead of him obeying God, he was obeying the people. And he committed a sin against God. So can anybody tell me what happened after he committed this sin? Because he committed a sin against God. You know, when you are in the leadership, it come harder on you when you in the leadership position than when you in a just regular a Christian child of God. But when you God called you to be over people and to teach, to love, to nourish, you know what I'm saying? You carry a heavier weight because everybody that God sent to me, I'm responsible for. I'm responsible for praying, for nurturing, for caring. I'm responsible. And so when you do that, you're almost making the people sin with you. When you're doing what God didn't tell you to do, you're just trying to please the people. You're just trying to make sure they all right and doing what they, but you're supposed to please God and not man. And so leaders get it much worse than if they was just, you know, I'm not saying regular people, but just a child of God. Just sheep. Because when the shepherd is responsible for the sheep, when one of you stray away, I'm supposed to go back. When you're hungry, I'm supposed to see, make sure you're getting fed through the word of God. And God will supply every need that you have. But Samuel didn't do that. Samuel did what he wanted to do. And the thing right here is that God was the one who picked Samuel. God was the one who chose Samuel. No, Saul. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm tripping that. God was the one who chose Saul. I'm sorry. He was the one chose him. Samuel loved Saul a lot. He really loved Saul. Yes, he did. Does anyone have any comments at this time? Because y'all know I can keep talking and keep talking because I'm full of it.
Yeah, I have a comment. I thought this was a really good lesson in the fact that when God is speaking to us and telling us to do something and we do the opposite and we act out in our own, you know, whatever it is that we want to do. And he's telling us here, just like he told Saul, Samuel was the prophet who gave him the word from God, but he did something totally different. When he told him to go and destroy everything, he wanted to keep, you know, keep this or he wanted to keep that. And it made me think about how we can relate that to just things in our own life and today. When you know that the Lord is speaking to you about something and then you turn around and then you do something else different, there is a consequence to you not being obedient to the word of the Lord. So I just thought it was a really good lesson.
It is. It really is, because when you disobey God like that,
when you disobey him like that, it's like Saul was doing witchcraft. That's what it was. He was study lying. He was lying because they weren't sending a sacrifice. They weren't getting them animals to sacrifice. He just lied about that. And it is just like he was committing witchcraft. He was doing witchcraft, and he was study trying to defend his actions and his wrongdoing, and he couldn't do it because God know everything. How he thought he was going to get away with that? I just don't understand. I don't understand how he thought he was going to get away with lying to God, and God see everything. And he knows everything. Anybody else have any comments or questions or anything before I go on? So.
The part that came alive to me a little on top of being obedient to God, sometimes we can find ourselves in company, and it can be of good to us or it can be of harm. You know, when they came in and they told the Kenites to get on up because they're here to slay. And because of their kindness, which they have shown to the children of Israel, you know, they got a pass.
That's right. Yeah, you're right about that. But I thought that was good that they did get them out the way, the Kenites. But Saul still, he did that, but he still didn't do exactly what God. Now, I don't know if he wanted him to, no, he didn't. He didn't want them to do away with the Kenites. He said the Amalekites. But the way Saul did the thing was like he wasn't following nothing God was saying, period. He just did like he wanted to do in the way the people was telling him to do. So that was really going against what God said. That's just like he tell you to go pray and you tell your folk, we ain't praying this week. You telling your ministry, we ain't praying this week. We're going to wait till next week. And God has told you to pray. You don't have to even ask God, should you pray? You know you should pray. We know we should pray. There's no question about it. We know we should pray. Why would we go ask God that? That's the same as, see, when Samuel came to town, people was running. Because back in those days, in the Old Testament, they were scared of prophets. Because prophets weren't talking about you finna get a car, you gonna be blessed with some money, or you gonna do this, all this kind of stuff. They came to deliver a message from the Lord about you, whether it was good or bad. And it could be bad as well as it could have been good. Just like when he went to Jesse's house. He went there saying, you got a king here in this house. God want to anoint him. And all of his sons went before him. But it wasn't none of them. But it was the little bitty scroungy one that was keeping the sheep, the shepherd that was keeping the sheep. That's what God wants today for his leaders. Leaders have to be careful when they doing stuff. This is to the leaders of today, even now. Because we don't realize when we disobey God, the heavier weight, the heavier judgment going to be on us. Of course, you know judgment will begin at the house of God, at his leaders. And that's why I don't try to please man. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat nothing to you. I don't really care how bad it hurts. I have to say it like God tell me to say it. I won't say it no other way. I may say I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say it. Whatever God gives me, it's important to say it just like God say. It's important to do what God tells you to do as a leader. And for anybody, but as a leader that's over the flock of God, oh, you better do right. Because you're going to be held accountable for what you don't do
and what God tell you to do, because at this point, Saul was over with God. Because God knew. See, man look at the outward, but God looks at this man's heart. And God say he ain't going to do right. I done told him to do this, and he doing something else. And he is my leader. I chose him to lead my people, the Israelites. And here he is teaching them wrong when I told him to go in there and kill everything, slay everything. He went in there and kept some good stuff for himself and for the people. And then he going to lie on purpose and say, oh, they was for sacrifice. And no, they wasn't. God know what they was for. If we think God don't know and don't see us and don't know our heart, we crazy. I'm just telling you. We've lost our mind because God know everything we thinking. He know every bit of our heart. God does. So whatever wrongness in our heart and whatever it is, right or wrong in our heart, God know it. God know when we're going to lie and when we're going to tell the truth. God know everything because he created us. You think he going to make something he don't know about? He know about it. So that's why I don't understand how Saul could do this. And then God didn't even allow Samuel to even mourn, to be sad, long. Anybody else have anything to say? Because I can keep going. Yeah, he didn't allow Samuel to even mourn or be sad for Saul. Because Samuel loved Saul. He really loved Saul. But Saul, the way he was doing stuff, it was like he was doing witchcraft. He was doing the sneaky, and God can't see him. So God, after Samuel told Saul what God, the message that God relayed to Samuel, he told Saul. And Saul talking about, don't turn from me, stand with me, and all this kind of stuff. God has already made his mind up, and that you can take that to the bank. If God done with you, then God will forgive us. God's forgiven us because of Jesus. But when he keep, and I ain't gonna, can't even speak for him in that area too much. I know he will forgive us and give us chance after chance after chance like he have done so many times before. But if you keep on special in the leader, that's why I say it's a difference. Because when God call you, he ordains you, and you are his leader. And if you keep on disobeying him, he gonna fire you and replace you with somebody else. He don't play. God does not play in that area because you over his flock. You're a shepherd over his flock, and he will not. He will not. Mm-mm. He gonna keep doing that, letting you get by time after time. He will not. So he told Samuel to go to Jesse's house. He know what he wanted. He know who he wanted. He said, no, that's not them. That's not the one I'm talking about. Samuel asked Jesse, you have any more children? He said, one more. He's tending the sheep. God said, that's my shepherd right there. That is my shepherd right there. So he called Saul. He called Samuel. Samuel told Jesse to go get David. And when he came, God said, anoint him. He is the one. So when you're chosen by God, this just let us know as leaders. Now, see, I only teach leaders. Everybody on this radio broadcast is a leader because God don't allow me to teach just a child of God, just a child of God. I teach leaders. It's so important for us to know this is important, this right here, because God won't play with us. we're going to carry a heavier judgment of the things that we've done to make his people stumble, the things that we said to make the people of God stumble. I'm telling you, you can't lead God's people any kind of way. You can't say anything crazy to God's people. I'm just telling you. This is a true fact, and I know it. Any more questions or comments? So where was I? So he chose David to be king over Israel, but Saul wasn't gonna let that happen. How in the world did he pick and choose David? Now I know it's a man said he knew somebody. That just seemed so strange, and maybe God allowed it to be so, that they chose David to be his armor bearer. And you know that armor bearers have to go through stuff too. They go through different things too, armor bearing the enemy. But it was the king at the time. But God had already fired Saul and had already chose David to be king. So he was armor bearing the king before. Just think how he felt, armor bearing this man when he knew God. He already knew God had anointed him, because Samuel anointed him before Saul called him to play music every time this evil spirit that God allowed to harass him do it. Time he did it, David had to play the harp or play whatever instrument it was to calm him down. But as you saw, didn't get any better. He just got worse. And when he realized that it was David that God chose, he started trying to kill David. And David was his armor bearer. See, we're coming to that next. But this is the thing. David knew that Saul was, he was anointed king. He didn't say, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. Because, you know, he knew Saul was going to be his enemy, but he loved him as king. He wasn't going to disrespect him or nothing like that. So every time, David loved Saul too as king. But God had already appointed David to be king. So he couldn't turn and say, I don't want to be king, because God chose him. See, the people, the Israelites wanted a king, and God said, long as I can get him and pick him, I will. I want to do it. You can have a king. But if I can't do it, you will not. You will only have me. So he was the one choosing the kings for Israel, his people. They didn't have sense enough to pick one on their own, because they were choosing wrong people. No, you know, they wanted. And then even to that, they thought he was going to choose that. Who was that? That Eliab, whatever that was, E-L-I-A-B. They thought he was going to choose him. But he didn't. He chose David. So Saul. He chose Saul. No, Samuel thought he was going to choose that man, that E-L-I-A-B. Samuel thought God was going to choose him, but God chose David. That's what it was. And God knows what's best for us. I don't know why we don't think God knows what's best for us. He does. But it's so much more in these two chapters that we haven't even discussed. It's so much more, because even today, as leaders of the gospel, we have to really pay attention to what God is leading us to do and telling us to do. Or we could be in this same predicament, because the people that God put in your hand or sent to you, you're responsible for. even if he just used you to give a word, even if he just used you to pray for somebody, you better do the best that you can, because that person's blood will be on your hands. You are a leader. This is what we do as leaders. You are held accountable and responsible for your actions. You're held accountable and responsible for your actions. And I'm telling you, I'm just telling each one of you, this can fall on any of us if we do wrong. We got to know that when you're doing it for God, you better do the best that you can for God of your ability, because he know when you're not. He know when you are. He knows everything before we even can, when it come up in our, we know before we think it. He know if we're going to, just like he knew Saul was going to do what he did. He stopped following God, and God knew it. He just wanted to bring it out so other people can see it, especially Samuel. The people loved Saul, but he was not following God. It was like, when you disobey God like that, it's just like you committing witchcraft. Because when you disobey God, you putting him right there next to an idol God. Like you putting him down where they are. And God is the highest God there is. He is God and God all by himself. So that's what we have to know. Any comments, any questions before we get ready to close out?
I have a comment.
Okay.
I am overwhelmed with how, I want to say this is chapter 16 where we was reading where looking at a person's appearance and how Samuel, he made the mistake of judging Eli.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm saying his name on his appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the same mistake that Israel made about the first king, Saul, when he looked at the part. But he didn't have the heart, a king of God's people that, he should have. It didn't matter how good Eli looked. God said, I have refused him. So to me, this was both a statement and
mm-hmm.
a fact.
Right.
That man look at the outward appearance, but the Lord look at our heart. And
that's right.
Samuel, of course, was guilty of it. And we got to understand that we can read the secrets of another's heart, and we often do only to judge on outward appearance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we just got to be careful on how we quick to judge people based on how they look, because God is looking at that. He the only one can judge the heart. It's just in our nature to only judge the outward appearance, because we don't know people's heart. Only
That's
God
right.
knows.
That's right.
He can only judge the heart that we can't see. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's what kind of gets me how, it's just all the word of God and how we need to just look back on the word just to get us through, because, and I have done it before, how I, and I mean, if you don't think you're doing it, you just say, I'm just talking about what I'm talking about, but that's absolutely judging, so
that's
all I, had to really say about, chapter 16. That's what stuck out to me, more so than anything. I really enjoyed the chapters. So just waiting on the next two.
Yeah, that was good. That was good, because we do look at the outward part of man, and we think we know something, and we don't. But we have to realize that God knows everything about us, and we don't know anything. We think we know something, but we don't. We know what God allow us to know. And this is the thing about it. God knows the end from the beginning. Man assumes. He don't really know. He just assumes what he want to assume, what he wants to see. But God looks at the heart. God, and we call ourselves judging and thinking we can judge somebody, but a lot of times it's wrong. A lot of times we just see just what a person does. They can say they love us and we'll believe it, and they really don't. Well, that's the way we made up. We just think we know it, but we don't. But if you just go to God with it anyway and ask God about it, he'll tell you himself. He'll tell you, he'll show you better than tell you. He will show you that thing. So, you know, I just want to encourage every one of us, like I said, as leaders, we got to know this thing. We got to be able to go to God and say, is this this? Is that that? We can't just pick up on ourselves and think we know something, because we don't. We can't. That's not how it goes. That's not how it works. So I'm not going to hold you long. I don't even want to stop, because it's so good and it's got so much in it. And even Thursday, we're going to be doing 17, 18, and 19 is for Thursday. And I want to really get really good down in it, because we need to really examine this. This is 1 Samuel dealing with King David and King Saul and the Lord and Samuel. We need to know what all of this means, because it's nothing new under the sun. We still have leaders today, and a lot of them still getting paid off and doing this and all this kind of stuff, and don't know that God is looking at them, and he's judging them right what they're doing, for right what they're doing. And there's no perfect somebody, no perfect person, but you're striving to be the best that you can for God and for his people. So we're going to get ready to close out. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for opening up our understanding, opening up our eyes in the name of Jesus. I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice. Lord, I, in the blood of Jesus, cover their homes and their vehicles, God, in the name of Jesus, and give them a peace within them that passes all understanding. In the mighty name of Jesus, bless them tonight. I ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen, amen. So let it be. God bless you all. And I will be on the live broadcast in the morning, Facebook live broadcast, 6 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Eastern time for the morning wake-up call. And I'll see you all there on Thursday. God bless you. Have a good night. Love you all.
Good night.
Love you.
God bless. Love you.
Love you. Good night.